Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 2nd, 2019. Pastor Paul Tolberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Good morning. And again, welcome to all of you, especially our graduates and their families, and all of our friends and family of faith that is here with us today, as well as online. We're going to be looking at God's Word today, and we're not going to be watching a movie of it. We're going to be looking at it in slow motion. That means that we're going to be looking at it from God's Word. God's Word is like a slow motion thing that you can go back and look at again and again. Now, if you came in today, you received or had an opportunity to get a little pin that has a reminder of their verse that they chose. And if you are here paying attention, that's the same verse that the confirmation class chose. It's a great verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But today we're going to start off with another one of the Bible readings for this Sunday. And it's the Bible reading from Psalms. Psalm 14, it's for the choir director. It's a song by David, who was a king. And if you know anything about the Bible history, you know he was a good king who went bad and then went really bad and then went really bad. And the Lord rescued him and brought him back. And this is what he says. The Lord told him to write down these words. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do disgusting things. There is no one who does good. Well, that's God looking at you. And that's God, the plain talker that he is. Now, if you and I talk like this, people's feelings get hurt. You know why people's feelings get hurt? Because nobody likes having the scab ripped off of a wound. Nobody likes seeing their face in the morning before the makeup goes on. Nobody likes waking up and seeing those extra wrinkles. Nobody likes that. The wages of sin is death. That is real. That is what's true. And that's what the Bible says. So guess what? Although this is Gay Pride Day, it's a sin. We don't have a drunkenness day. We don't have a happy murderer's day. We don't have any of that kind of stuff. Why is that? That's because there are some things that God says, you know, we don't celebrate that. We acknowledge it. We don't dismiss it as they're worthless people. We say, you know what? God loves them. They are in the dark. So what happens? You have to find a way to rescue them and get his word to them to let him know that God loves them. So that's what happens. Start off with the real thing. The real thing is that you need to know how sick you really are before you listen to the doctor who gives you medicine to make you better. He continues, the Lord looks down from heaven on all the children of Adam to see if there's anyone who understands, anyone who seeks God. So God is looking for us. He is in heaven and he's looking for us. This is his personal name. Children in Bible history class know that God has a couple different names. One of those names is the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. That's what the Lord says. That's how he defines himself, the God of free and faithful grace. And he looks down, and he looks at us, and guess what? He sees this whole room full of people, and not one of you does good. Not the guy who's standing up in a white gown up front, not the guy who's sitting in the back pew. None of us do good. In case we didn't get it, the Lord continues. Every one of them is turned away. Altogether they have become rotten. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. The word for rotten is kind of interesting. It comes from a word that means rotting, decaying milk. It just makes you sick. So God says, guess what? You have a heart I have a heart that is rebellious against God. It shows in what I do. It shows in how I think. It shows in what I say. Disgusting. It makes God sick. So what happens? Don't any of these evildoers understand those who devour my people as if they were eating bread? They do not call on the Lord. He gets right back to the basics. They don't call on the Lord. Again, if you're in Bible history class in our school, you would know what that meant. Calling on the name of the Lord means to do what we're doing right now, to gather for worship. And people who despise God don't do that. They don't want to hang around with people who are going to be walking in heaven. They don't want to be in a place where God has promised to be. They don't want to hear the words of Jesus, who they despise the rest of the week. So why should they come and worship? God knows all about that. And he says, don't they get it? Don't they understand? Don't they understand? There they are. They are terrified because God is present in the circle of the righteous. There is no one righteous, but we know very well what God says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? Do you believe that he actually lived and died for you? Do you believe that he came back to life again? Do you believe that Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, says, I'm working out all things. I'm going to make sure that all things work together for your good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's coming back again to take you to be with himself in heaven? And do you believe that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with us? That's the promises of God. And so what happens is you try to put the plans of the poor to shame, but the Lord is their refuge. He is right here with us. He is our refuge in times of stress, in times of trouble, in times of fear and confusion. Doesn't matter. The Lord is our refuge. So who will provide salvation for Israel from Zion when the Lord restores his people? Now this is interesting. I teach the children to be thinkers, to be Christians who think. A Christian who thinks looks at this word and says, oh, wait a minute. Verse 1, didn't I say that this is written by King David? King David. He is a guy who's a strong guy. He's a guy who expands the kingdom. After him comes King Solomon and then another couple kings. What does it mean when the Lord restores his people? They're all there. Unless, again, you know what the Lord is talking about. The Lord says in his word that we're all lost, remember? He just said the first half of this psalm, making sure that we understood our condition. But when the Lord restores us, that's a little bit different. When the Lord restores us, his people, let Jacob rejoice and let all Israel be glad. Jesus kept his word. He kept his promise and he came. Now, what's really funny is that later on today or this week, I know the future already. I'm going to be getting grief and getting grief from my children. A little tender nudging and a kind of smirk from my wife. And the kids are going to say, oh, Pastor, why? Because I sat down to the piano, a song that I played 100 million times, and whoosh, went around my head. So my children are going to say, have you got that words and music written down yet? No, I don't. The kids in Bible history class will say, oh, Pastor, it happened again. Yes, it did. Makes your day especially memorable, doesn't it? Yeah. I didn't do that on purpose, but it fits right into this particular application because God never forgets. We're told that God asked this question one time. He says, can you think I'm going to forget you? Can a mom ever forget the baby that's nursing on her own baby? Can she ever forget that child? And we would say, of course not. God says, there may come a time when she will forget, but I will never forget you. See, I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand. It's always there in front of me. Our God does not forget. He is a God who keeps his word, and that's how come this verse is remarkable. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you're saying, Pastor, we already had that verse. Yeah, you did. Mrs. T said to me, you already preached on that verse. How are you going to preach again? Well, God's word is one of those inexhaustible things, and it really is inexhaustible. The first time around, I made sure that you understood what it meant. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That it doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want and God will make sure he's got my back. No. It's focusing on what God wants me to do. What God wants, how he wants me to live, how he wants me to think, how he wants me to behave with my mouth and with my deeds. I can do it all through Christ. This time I want to focus on that word, strengthens me. Now you're going to have to use your imagination. I want you to imagine a big pot. Big pot. Huge pot. And it's empty. It's dusty empty. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word strengthen. If you have this picture in your mind of this pot, it's such a cool word. The word means you're filling it up from the outside with strength that is not your own. It's being filled up to the very top and overflowing. It's a great word to have in your verse again because it reminds you of a couple things that you learned. Psalm 23, besides still waters, the Lord's Prayer, and Luther's Morning Prayer, all of those things remind us of God's great love for us, overflowing from the outside in. So you learn all that stuff. It's important things because Mrs. T and I want to see you in heaven. So we want to make sure that you hang on to that. And you have a whole bunch of people here who want to see you in heaven too. And it's full of people who want to see you in heaven, which means that they're praying for you and they've provided the school for you so you could learn better from God's own word. So in his name, continue to do that. Continue to go back to God's word again and again. You don't have to worry about a test anymore because God, for Jesus' sake, has already passed the test for us. Isn't that cool to know? We get home to heaven, we don't have to pass a test. It's not our performance, not our pedigree. It depends on what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, where he suffered and he died in our place and he came back to life again so that you and I know the sin is gone. How am I going to live now? Am I going to wait until someone tells me I have to open up God's word and read it? Am I going to wait to learn God's word by heart until somebody tells me? Or am I going to open up myself and read it for my own and learn it on my own? Because I want to know God better until I see him face to face. In his name, so let us live. Amen.